This is News Talk 1040. I'm Jeff Deist. Enjoyed that conversation with Judge Napolitano. He's great. I really recommend you follow him and keep up with him. He's a dynamo. And frankly, we need his perspective today because so much of what we're getting from courts is as BS as what we're getting from legislatures. But that said, I got my friend James Bovard, the great Jim Bovard, on the line. Jim, it's great to hear from you today.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
So I promised listeners during the break that we would get into this D.C. fear machine. I know one thing you cover in your own work as an opinion columnist at USA Today and otherwise is just it almost seems like the amount of sheer propaganda that comes out of D.C., like they've almost dropped their pretenses. It's really, it's tiring. I have no other word for it but tiring. I'm worn out by it.
Well, it's just count your blessings that you don't start your morning by going out down the steps and picking up a copy of the Washington Post. I mean, I assume that they don't have home delivery in Auburn, but no.
You know, it's not a top priority down here.
It's not a top priority. Okay, well, you know, there's always the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So it's fascinating, you know. There were so many people who thought that once Trump was driven out of Washington that, you know, that there'd be brave new world, that the people would have faith in the government again, they would have faith in the president and the White House and what the government was up to, but that hasn't happened. I mean, there's been a slight shift in who exactly distrusts Washington, but the numbers are about the same, and the outrages are as big as ever. So, and I'm sitting here waiting to see if Biden manages to drag the United States into World War III. So it's like, I think I'd rather have nasty tweets from a president.
Yeah, it really is something. And I wonder today how that spin on the Viktor Orban, apparently an 18-point win in parliament in Hungary, this is going to somehow be spun as anti-democratic, autocratic, whatever it might be. I mean, that's as good a place for us to start as any.
Well, it was a cliffhanger. Yeah, well, it was interesting. I saw the folks were either, let me get the exact thing, and there was someone who was someone in the EU or someone who thought the EU would raise hell because apparently Orbán won in part because of mail-in voting, and as we know, mail-in votes should not count in elections. I mean, because otherwise you've got Jim Crow. No, wait, it's vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny to see some of the howling from the European liberal progressives, whatever, about the mail-in voting. But that was what determined the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. And Biden has sought to sanctify all the ad hoc changes to the election procedures and to say that anything that isn't the same as it was in 2020 is the same as Jim Crow. And it's funny to see even the Washington Post has cringed at that and threw him a few Pinocchio awards.
But here's the thing, is if Orban wins handily, or his party wins handily, you know, the democracy is when the right guy wins. When the wrong guy wins, or the wrong guy's party, they have to scramble with this stuff. And I think it's becoming increasingly transparent, even to average people.
I hope you're right. I mean, you know, it's been over 15 years since I wrote Attention Deficit Democracy, and unfortunately that book is not out of date as far as the fundamental problems with the democratic procedure where you've got a large number of ignorant voters, but it's compounded because you have a large number of ignorant members of Congress who really don't pay attention to the issues, and they're happy to applaud on cue, and you have a foreign politician give them a speech, and they're all set to go to war to help the foreign country. It's kind of like, wait a minute, where was that in the Constitution?
Yeah, and you talk about attention deficit. Social media has intensified this and sped it up. It's really something today. I mean, look how quickly we pivoted from COVID to Ukraine, and I guess what we could call the national attention span.
72 hours. It was, it's about the same length as a typical bad flu case some years ago. And yet there's almost, it's almost like what Orwell would say, we've always been at war with East Asia. So folks aren't really... it's been disappointing that more people haven't had better BS radars. And there's a lot of folks who distrust Biden as president, but so many of them have jumped on the war bandwagon and thinking that the U.S. should stake its, should risk its entire, national survival, dodging nuclear weapons, simply to take a stand on a border dispute between two East European countries. There are horrendous atrocities that have occurred, I think mostly on the Russian side, some on the Ukrainian side. Putin is a scoundrel for invading, but the whole idea that the U.S. should sacrifice, go to endless lengths, including military intervention, simply because of this dispute, Americans didn't vote on this, and there was no warning that all of a sudden we've decided that a foreign country is worth sacrificing almost everything here for.
Boy, they really want to turn this into a proxy war over democracy itself. This is an existential crisis for the West if we allow Putin to get away with, as you say, a border dispute with Ukraine. I mean, it really is something. This isn't Iraq. This isn't Afghanistan. This is the Russian army, a nuclear power, and this jingoism. And as you know, and I think as you pointed out in your Twitter, we've really been snowed about Zelensky as well.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, this is being portrayed as a battle of good versus evil, democracy versus autocracy. But in reality, it's a clash between two elective dictators, both of whom have been heavy-handed, both of whom are corrupt. There are no, snow white angels in this conflict. And that's part of the reason why Americans should stay the heck out, because the media coverage has swallowed almost any propaganda line that came out of there, almost any allegation that came out of there. As I said, I think there have been atrocities. But I'm not going to be howling for blood, certainly not having any independent investigations, because there were a lot of false claims before the war and the first month of the war and probably ongoing to today.
Yeah, as Daniel McAdams points out, it's really the heating up or the resurgence of a war that started in 2014. And when you think the whole world is your business, then every war anywhere becomes a proxy war. And that's what strikes me about this, is that we are supposed to basically drop everything in our national consciousness and rally behind one side on this. And I do think the Russians are the aggressors here. There was certainly a better situation a few months back. But, if you listen to people like Colonel Douglas McGregor, you realize, Jim, that Americans are so historically illiterate. They're so prone to jingoism and color-coded revolutions and all these things that they're really easily duped and easily led by the nose.
Yeah, I was at a American conservative reception a few months ago at the Army Navy Club, and it was pretty staid, except for Colonel McGregor. And he and I started chatting. We had a good rollicking chat for probably almost an hour. And he spent a lot of time in these European nations. He knows them much, much better than do the pundits in D.C. or elsewhere, or a lot of the State Department policymakers, and he had a very good sense as far as, of the long, deep-seated hatred for some of these countries for other countries. Like, he was saying that the Poles hate Russians. I mean, okay, there was a long history of abuses there, back and forth, probably at least several hundred years. And it's like... It's not that different than jumping into the Balkans and claiming that the U.S. is going to make peace in Bosnia and then in Kosovo. And it's just, it's fascinating how there's a hold harmless standard for any pundit who recommends U.S. military intervention.
Yeah, there is a hold harmless standard. Now, we just got a minute or two before the break. You know what strikes me about this, Jim? Is we thought we were in the era of ideological wars or wars fought by drones or information wars, and yet so much of this is an old-fashioned land war with tanks and advancing through cities and street by street. So maybe we haven't reached the end of history just quite yet.
Very true, and your history's got some nasty reminders coming up for us.
Boy, it sure does. We're talking Jim Bovard, as I mentioned. You can follow him on Twitter. You should follow him on Twitter, at Jim Bovard, B-O-V-A-R-D, all one word. He's somehow, against all odds, is a USA Today opinion columnist, where he gives you the real scoop. So check that out. When we come back from the break, I want to ask him a little bit more about Ukraine and the public perception of that, the media's framing that, about things like the FBI and the Comey scandal, what's going on with Hunter Biden, basically all of this fear machine propaganda that we're getting at NBC. Because, you know, folks, we're not getting this great scoop from Washington Post or CNN or New York Times or any of these other outlets. And so it's incumbent on all of us to go out there and seek it out and really find out who out there is giving an alternative voice, who's telling truths about things, who's giving a more nuanced view of things. And people like Colonel Douglas McGregor, who's been obviously on Tucker Carlson's show, among others, I think is somebody we ought to be listening to, along with people like Jim Bovard, people like Daniel McAdams at the Ron Paul Institute, Ron Paul himself, great podcaster, comedian Dave Smith. I mean, there's a lot of people out there talking about this stuff. You don't need to just accept one-size-fits-all airport lounge media from CNN anymore. That's the new world, and we ought to avail ourselves of it. And by doing so, really remove our sanction from so-called mainstream media and reduce their power as we do so. So all very important stuff, alternative media. And we're going to be right back with more. Jim Bovard after the break. This is News Talk 1040. Stay with us. Gentlemen, I'm Jeff Dice, speaking with James Bovard, among other things, a USA Today opinion columnist. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Bovard, B-O-V-A-R-D, all one word. Jim, I'm curious whether you've been following all these malaprops and misstatements by Biden. I mean, boy, oh boy, you look at him, and I honestly, and I'm not saying this to knock the guy for his age or otherwise, but I really think he's suffering from some mental acuity issues, and it's pretty scary in the situation we're in.
Yeah, it's too bad he can't go back in the basement like he did in Delaware during the presidential campaign.
Literally, yeah.
It's kind of like a dark comedy. I think he was talking the other couple days ago and forgot that he had been vice president, and maybe said his wife had been vice president, something like that. It makes you wonder. So who's in charge? It's been a long time since Biden. It's been quite a while since Biden did a lengthy press conference, and you know the last one he did, the White House staff was scrambling like firefighters trying to correct a number of things he says. Same with his trip to Europe. I mean, he had a number of disastrous ad libs there. I'm curious how folks can retain confidence in him, given both his policies and his mental struggles.
Yeah, and you do wonder who's in charge around him, and there's so many voices in all these presidents' head. And one thing I pointed out in my own writing and speaking over the past couple weeks is, frankly, he's been a lot less hawkish, Jim, than some of the people around him and his own party. At least he's repeated a couple times that we're not going to send any U.S. troops into Ukraine. So yes, he has his slip-ups, but he doesn't yet sound like he's ready for a full-fledged war with Putin. And you can't say that for some of the people around him.
Yeah, well, and you can't say that for a number of members of Congress in both parties. I mean, you know, to hear them yapping for a no-fly zone, shooting down Russian warplanes, it's like, you know, and what happens next. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just almost all the folks who are gung-ho for U.S. military intervention have no experience with combat. And it's like, okay, there's live ammo and there's real blood. And whose blood are you going to shed? Not your own, not your family's, probably not anybody who you're close to. But there is this utter recklessness on intervention. You had mentioned war crimes there at the end, and as I said earlier, it looks like Russia may have committed war crimes, and I look forward to seeing a more independent investigation. But it was only about 3 months ago that the New York Times had a series of articles on how they'd gotten a trove of Pentagon documents that showed how the U.S. had killed hundreds, if not thousands, of Syrian civilians in the U.S. bombing campaigns during the Obama and Trump presidencies, and just whitewashed all of it. And, a number of the details of some of those attacks would might be considered by other countries as a war crime. But instead, it's treated like a paperwork error by the Pentagon, and the Pentagon gets away with it.
Yeah, that really is something. I mean, the term war crime, it's all about the selective application of that term. But here's the thing. I think neoconservatives, as you and I would use that term, dominate the foreign policy establishment in both parties. And do they really want to turn nuclear-armed Russia into what they imagine Iran is, this rogue nuclear state?
I don't know if they've thought that far. I mean, I think some of them are just anxious to get to be back on MSNBC or CNN, or to have a very prominent place. I mean, a military conflict works out well for the Washington foreign policy experts, even though it was often their horrible advice that led to the conflict. Again, there's a whole harmless standard. You have the rascals, or worse, who helped lie us into the Iraq War in 2003, are still prominent and still respected, and they're there giving advice on how we should teach Russian a lesson. A huge thing that exasperates me here is that the Biden administration seems to be undermining, or at least not doing nothing to support, efforts to get a ceasefire in Ukraine. It's almost as if they want to see the war drag on, even though there's a lot of innocent Ukrainians and some Russians as well who are dying on a daily basis. Go ahead.
Well, that's just it. If we have an interest in Putin being defeated militarily, or at least defeated politically, and having to go home, hang his head in shame, or even be tried as a war criminal, that our interest in that could supersede the interest of the Ukrainian people, which might well be the fastest, most bloodless resolution of this conflict.
Absolutely. But that doesn't seem to show up on the Biden team's radar, and it doesn't show up on the vast majority of American media's radar. Instead, this is like from the Middle Ages, there's a holy crusade going on, and it's important to vanquish Russia as if it was some new Satan. And it's like, it's a really messy situation there, and anything which we could do to, help lower the military tension or take steps towards a ceasefire would be a blessing for both sides. But we aren't doing that. We're just saying, here's some new weapons, here's this, and keep fighting. We're standing behind you. It's like, where does this end? Where does this end?
But if the West keeps labeling him a war criminal, then we don't really give him any possible exit. Because if we did just let him go home, and if he got out of Ukraine, which we all hope for, if we allow a so-called war criminal to remain in power, then presumably the region is forever destabilized and threatened.
I guess I don't see it like that, because George W. Bush stayed in power. No, I mean, seriously, Lyndon Johnson stayed in power. Nixon stayed in power. I mean, if you look at most of the war criminals in the last 60 years, they stayed in power and the world kept going. So it's like, folks throw nasty terms at Putin. I don't know that, I don't know how much attention Putin pays to what Biden says, because Biden is kind of, Biden is a verbal loose cannon. How's that for the euphemism of the day?
Yeah, he certainly is that. And you just wonder, what's the end game here? Because there's always the political advantage. I think Biden is struggling with his approval ratings. The Democrats are struggling. I think woke and transgenderism is not helping them in the midterms. And so if you're Biden, there's a certain amount of appeal to saying, hey, look, let's get the U.S. on a wartime footing and make me look like a wartime president, right? I mean, that, as sick as it might sound, that probably helps you in the approval game.
Short term, until the war turns to crap, as it did for George W. Bush. So, yeah, I don't. That may be part of the calculations. I think that Biden thinks he can take the moral high ground as long as the war is going on. Perhaps, maybe there's more to it. But I just totally disagree that this is a fight of good versus evil and democracy versus autocracy. Because if you look at the history of the government of Ukraine since the end of the Soviet Union, they were so corrupt and so oppressive that almost a quarter of a country's population left. They're fleeing to Poland. They're fleeing here. They're going to any place where there's opportunity, because the entire country, including the current president, who was nailed by the Panama Papers, which showed that he had secret bank accounts abroad, where he's probably had a lot of money, and that was his big issue, fighting corruption of the other oligarchs. So.
Well, one thing we know is Mr. Zelensky, after this is all said and done, is still probably going to be a rich man. We've been speaking with Jim Bovard, James Bovard. You can find him on Twitter, all one word, at Jim Bovard, B-O-V-A-R-D. Jim, we thanks for your time. We got to take a quick break. This is News Talk 1040. We'll be right back.
Thanks.